Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And dear friends in Christ, the text for this morning's meditation from the Gospel. Then he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." And these are the words of our Lord. You may be seated. So with that, I should say a happy All Hallows Day observed. That's not a term that we're used to hearing now because that's Old English, Hallows. Hallows Day, Hallows Eve, Halloween. Halloween, All Hallows Day, All Saints Day. It means all holy ones, all who are hallowed. It is a word that comes from the Church of Jesus Christ, risen from the dead. For just such a day, when the world is thinking about things that are dying back and going into hibernation, when others who are not Christian are thinking about other things that are of dead and dead things and trying to make friends with death and all the rest, the church comes into the midst of this time of year, and it's not about harvest in the church. It's about Hallows. All Hallows E'en, All Hallows Day. It's about the saints of God who have been purified in the blood of this one, washed white in the blood of the Lamb who cleanses us from all sins, who has defeated death and all that goes with death, with its demons and all the rest, for life and salvation. So I realized that it was 2 years ago, actually today, that I preached. You know, you look and think, well, what did I use last time, or when was I preached this? Maybe it was in Nevada. Oh my gosh, it was at Grace Lutheran. Oh gosh. But as I recalled it, what we talked about and what I talked about was this beautiful, beautiful message which comes across as the present reality. And that's in today's sermon title as well. You notice that when the Lord speaks his words of blessing, and keep in mind, when the Lord speaks his word, it becomes reality. He said, "Let there be light," and there was light, even before we knew it as a sun or through that. In the same way, he speaks his blessedness to those that are in the crowds that come to him hoping for something a little better in their life, besides all the death and the competition and the dog-eat-dog stuff. And so the reality is that as the Lord speaks these beatitudes, blessed be, whenever he speaks of heaven, it is in the present tense. Not shall be or will be in heaven, is heaven for you. Which then what we understand is that we are gathered together in the one unified body of Christ in his church with all saints of his who have been made holy by the blood of the Lamb shed on the cross for the forgiveness of sins, sealed by his resurrection and now given to all people everywhere who are baptized into his name, into his death and into his resurrection. The Church of Jesus Christ is not simply, oh, there's some of us today and one of these days we'll be with those there. No, we are joined together with all Christians of all times and all places in this church, and the liturgy does so as well, because a couple of years ago one of the big points was that in our liturgy, and today we will hear it again as the pastor speaks what is called the proper preface. The proper preface is a question that you get to have to answer when you're at the seminary. And for a long time the proper preface was, well, yeah, you got to be sure and say this if you're going to run a communion service when you're a pastor. This is how you do church. The proper preface, though, has been with us since the earliest days. It's the oldest part of our liturgy. It's the oldest part, along with everything in the Old Testament, but the oldest thing from the New Testament church. The proper preface says, as the pastor is speaking his preface before what else but the Lord's Supper of his very body and blood given and shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Therefore, the pastor speaks the words of the ancient church in unison, therefore with angels and archangels and with the whole heavenly company, we, together with them, laud and magnify thy glorious name, evermore praising thee and saying, and then we break into song, holy, 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 which is from Isaiah chapter 6, the realms and the vaults of heaven. It just crashes in the church on earth. Those words of the heavenly council, the heavenly kingdom, along with all those who are in the church militant who have not yet been all the way blessed and fulfilled past this life. But we all are gathered to the same Lamb, in the same kingdom, in the same temple of the Jesus' body and blood for the forgiveness of sins. So heaven is not a future thing for us. We are already in heaven. And I finally figured out this is why you go to church. Well, you go to church to learn more of God so I can answer more questions and I can go on Jeopardy and answer stuff about God. That's not why we come to this place. We come to this place to be gathered to the name of this Lord. And there with all saints from all time and place, in all places, even in the church militant as well as the church triumphant in heaven, we call upon this Lord and we praise him as our one God and Lord, and that we are all members of that same one body of this Lord for all eternity. Heaven is now and for all eternity. You're not waiting to get into heaven. You're already there with all God's saints. And here we are in the words that the church gave us from those earliest days, with angels and archangels and with all the heavenly company, we laud and magnify thy glorious name. And you see, this Lord comes with his real presence, with blessings and gifts, to nourish you and to strengthen you through your days ahead. When you are, in the words of these Beatitudes, weary and mourning, and meek, and hunger. Those are the struggles we live with every day in the church militant. But we struggle through them knowing, but this is not really where my life is. My life is one in Christ. And so here we are. And that was then. That's the present reality. I got it. All Hallows, it's there for you. And so now when we come into the church on this day, this time when the church injected itself into the world that was full of all these, well, what should we say, all these festivals of death, all of these things the pagans worried about and were afraid of, woo! The church was never afraid. The church spoke into all that death and dying and ugliness. The church spoke life, victory over death, through the one death which mattered, which was the true death. So in the church, we love to be able to speak of death because we have one death over all other deaths in the one person who did not deserve any death, but who went into death for us without sin to pay the sacrifice, to make the payment, so that you and I now need to have no fear of death, even though it is a reality in our old bodies, waiting, waiting, waiting for that final time when we can join in the church triumphant. And so the church comes into this place. Something I think is interesting is that, well, it's the reality of Christ crucified, washed in the blood. We do funerals well. As a pastor, I'm taking note that you notice how people don't like to talk about funerals much? No, it's a celebration of life. He passed. He moved on. No, he died. He's dead. My dad, your friend, your child, dead. And in the church, we speak of that so gladly because we know in that death has been united with the death of the one who has conquered it all. So the church does funerals well. And it's not so that we can say some good things about old Joe. You know, somebody pointed out, I think it was Norman Nagler, he's somebody you don't know, but I know. He pointed out that you can tell that even people who don't believe in God, they're concerned because they are concerned about legacy and they're concerned that somebody speaks well of them. They're concerned about how they will be accounted when they die. So they need to make a difference so that others will notice. And so when we come in here and when good old Joe dies or whoever it may be, that he can be accounted to us as somebody that was a good guy. The problem is, we're not good guys enough or people enough ever to escape the pangs and the curse of death, except by the one death that conquered it all for you and for me, our Lord Jesus Christ. The reality of Christ and him, Paul says, we preach crucified for the sins of the world. But you know this, right? We talked about that 2 years ago, so I know that's all stayed with you. It wasn't a while until I realized it was, man, I preached some of this. But there's something more to this. So we rejoice when we come to a funeral because Uncle Ed or my dad, W.H., your dad, you know. And we take great solace in knowing in our commendation of the dying that the faithful departed that we're going to have today, and we have good memories of these people, and we rejoice that they're in heaven, and boy, at rest from their labors. But then there's a little more funeral talk. Have you ever thought, you know how it is, when you're a pastor, you do a funeral, and I'll usually have people sitting down in the front row, well, boy, not way up here, I don't. But you have people in the church, and you don't know, when that family comes in and Uncle Harold is gone, I look at people, and they're like one pastor in Albuquerque years and years ago, he said, you know, reading a person is a lot like trying to look at a weather map. They say there's highs and there's lows and there's rain or whatever, but as you look at a person, they're like reading a weather map. You can't tell where they're really at because there's all kinds of things in here that you don't see because I make sure you don't see it, you make sure I don't see it, and you never know. So when death comes into a family, when death intrudes, when death interrupts, you know, it's never according to plan. It's never according to the tables. But when death intrudes, suddenly you have people that go, oh my gosh, the last time I talked to my father, the last time I talked to my cousin, my whoever it is, there were some pretty harsh words. The last time I stormed out of the house was the last time I ever talked. Or then there was a time that I wish I would have said something more. I wish I would have said, I love you, Dad, Mom, Cousin Jerry. But now it's no more. I wish I could have asked Dad about this. But anyway, you see what I'm saying. In the middle of families, we have all these situations. And how are we doing? Yeah, Uncle Eddie's in heaven. Good for him. But what about you? You know something else about this blood of Christ? And this goes past us a lot of times. Is it not only reconciles you with Christ. It reconciles everyone who is baptized in his name with Christ and with one another. Think about it. The last time I spoke with whatever, it was just this. But who's got her now? Who's got him now? Who's taken care of that? Who's resolved that? Who's brought peace and prosperity of knowing it doesn't matter whether or not I got to tell him or her whatever it was that I really needed to tell him, or I'm so sorry, or it doesn't matter if I'm even still angry at him or her because of my lost childhood, whatever it was. I had a member in Tennessee. He was from New York. So, you know, you listen very carefully, but you take it with a grain of salt, because New Yorkers have a lot of opinion, if you've ever met one. But they have a lot of good opinions. I remember he once got up in front of the congregation, was just talking about stuff. It was something about doing something. And he says, yeah, the fact of the matter is, I'm at this church because the Lord's altar is here. And I'm not here because of different people that are in this church. In fact, there are a number of people in this church I don't even like. I don't even care for, because they like bowling too much. Or they're all about softball, or they're all about this. And I'm sitting there going, oh God, Jim, don't say, oh, that's pretty rough. But you know, sometimes it jars you. And you get to thinking, going, well, you know, as a matter of fact, I've met some people that I don't particularly like in the church either. How about you? Oh, you're really in the church then, if you have that. But I realize, but who's made us brothers and sisters? Who's resolved our differences, even when we're not ready to resolve them? But who's already resolved them? By the same blood, which has redeemed me, which has redeemed you. But it's also redeemed us with one another. In his body, the church, the one holy Christian church. From all times, from all ages, into all eternity, one body in Christ. Wow. So it's okay with mom. It's okay with my friend or my former coworker or all those ones that I worry about. It's okay. You have a Lord whose blood covers it all. And guess who's in beautiful bliss without worrying about words that maybe he left or she left here in this life of the church militant? It's a beautiful thing. So in this gift of an eternal heaven, there it is for you and for me. It's all in the present. It's all resolved in Christ and his blood, which reconciles not only you, but your loved ones, even your enemies, by his blood, by his reconciliation. His death once for all, it says. So we get ready to do a commendation of those who have gone before us in our own congregation here. And as you and I go through this together, we'll think of these particular persons, but it's a good time then for you to think about someone in your life, perhaps that has preceded you then to the church triumphant. And to know that in all of this, the Lord has resolved it. You're in his hands. And to know that when you come to his altar, as the Apostle Paul says it to a bunch of Corinthians who are all fighting with each other, you know they do that, right? In the book of Corinthians, they're all fighting with each other. That's when he talks about discerning the body and the blood. That's what we do. And he says, as often as you eat this bread, drink this blood, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. That's evangelism. When others see you kneeling at this altar, receiving this mercy from this Lord, by his body and his blood, know that's what it is for you. And to think that you're declaring what the victory of the Lord is for you, as well as for all of your loved ones. So we come and we'll commend, and then we'll gather at the altar and proclaim it to be with the angels and archangels and with all the heavenly company. A blessed All Saints' Day to you. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, dear friends.